الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو.
Couple of announcements. Firstly, inshallah, after the dua, as was announced yesterday, we will be having a live eyewitness account of the recent trip to Lebanon by some of our brothers, including our own Mulana Muhammad and Brother Arfan Khan and friends. So brothers are requested to stay for that. Lebanon gaye hue the rifahi kamon ke liye, to uski karguzari sunayenge, bahut hi aham baatein sunayenge. Hazrat se guzarish hai ki tashreef rakhein. Aur inshallah, Eid ki namaz, عید بلکہ عید کا دن منڈے کو ہی غالباً ہوگا. تقریباً اٹس کنفرمڈ دا لوکل رویت ہلال کمیٹی آر سیئنگ دیٹ دے ول ٹرائی ٹو اٹمپٹ اے سائٹنگ ٹو نائٹ, بٹ اٹ ڈز لک ویری ویری ان لائکلی کہ کچھ نظر آئے گا. تو ظاہر یہی ہے کہ انشاءاللہ منڈے عید ہوگی. ٹائمنگز آر 6 o'clock, فرسٹ عید نماز ان دا مسجد, اینڈ سیکنڈ عید نماز will be at 9 o'clock at the bottom of Hollingwood Lane on Chelsea Road, if the weather is good. Agar barish hui to phir masjid mein hi 8:30 baje bayan hoga aur 9 baje Eid ki namaz hogi. So tonight inshallah Taraweeh as usual, kal bhi inshallah roza hoga, mukammal 30 roze honge, uske baad inshallah Eid hogi Monday ko. Jazakumullah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين.
اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، respected brothers, elders, young ones, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Before I commence, I'm going to ask the guys that went with me, Kieran, Arfan, Umar, guys come to the front please. Just so that you guys know who the team Lebanon was and who they are. Bit of background on the three individuals. I'm not going to elaborate on myself. Bit of background on these guys. Brother Umar has been alhamdulillah, he's been one of my closest friends for many, many years. If anything, I really do look up to him as an older brother. We started off working together, and then alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we don't work together anymore, we actually have stayed in contact for the sake of Allah. We've done many travels together, and I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keeps us united in this world and keeps us united in Jannah. With regards to our brother Ishaq, his actual name is Kieran. It's funny now, yeah? Kieran Ishaq Jihad Ilahi. Don't ask me. How I met this guy, subhanallah, his brother was, I work in the hospital and his brother was passing away. And I've never really had this conversation with him, but I believe that that was a turning point for brother Ishaq. And after that, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made it a mission to do as much as sadqah jari on behalf of his brother and his uncle, rahimahullah, who passed away some years ago. Brother Arfan, we started working, well, we used to work together in Amazon back when I used to be an Amazon driver. And then, don't ask me how, he became manager and I left. I guess I couldn't work with him, well, under him, should I say. So alhamdulillah, we were honored to take this group with us to Lebanon. What was the motive behind going to Lebanon and why Lebanon? Last year I was fortunate when in lockdown all flights to other countries were unavailable. We were given the fortunate opportunity to go to Lebanon and to really carry some charity work out. And this year, I'll be very, very honest with you, even though Mullah Abdullah is walking out now, I made it a firm intention to do no charity work this year. Not because I had anything against charity work, it was just I wanted to kind of just stay home and for my own personal reasons. And I remember earlier this year, Mullah Abdullah Sahib, Allah grant him a long life, and Allah keep us under His shade. He called me and he said, Muhammad, he goes, you want to come to Lebanon? I mean, Albania with us. And I couldn't refuse Mawlana Abdullah. He's been my local imam in Masjid Bilal for some years. And he's really, really graced us and he's really kept me under his shadow for so many years, including some of my closest friends as well. And so he asked me politely, I couldn't say no, and we went to Albania.
Could the owner of a black Vauxhall Corsa LO71CSX, please remove it immediately. They're blocking someone else in. It's a black call, sir. Jazakallah.
So Mawlana Abdullah, by the grace of Allah, took us to Albania. And I'm going to say it was very fortunate. Me and Brother Umar went. And it was an amazing experience overall. But we're not here to talk about Albania. After that, I went on to, subhanAllah, I was given the opportunity to go to Afghanistan. So I went to Afghanistan as well. That's a topic for another day. When it came to Lebanon, I had no intention of going. Some brothers reached out to me and they asked that, do you want to come to Lebanon to do some charity work in Ramadan? You see, the selling point for myself was, number one, doing and putting the smiles on faces of people who probably have forgotten how to smile in the month of Ramadan. And I remember coming back, and we have a youngsters class that goes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I remember speaking to the boys and I said, look, if we're going to go, the sole intention should be that this is an opportunity for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As selfish as that sounds. Because when it comes to Qiyamah, it's going to be nafsi, nafsi all the way. And so alhamdulillah, the brothers got ready. And we started fundraising. Masjid Taqwa, I'd like to really heartfelt appreciate, and you know, our thanks goes to the Masjid Taqwa. You guys, as well as the committee, imams, they really stood behind us. And they really encouraged us to go. They really supported us going, to the point they've even asked. And this is how this program's come about. A lot of people from the Masjid Taqwa, from the audience, as well as the hierarchy, have asked us on many separate occasions, how was it? And this is what we're here to share. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share a few questions. We're going to give ourselves probably about 15 minutes to carry on. Number one, what was it that we expected? Well, you know, like none of... Okay, so I've been in Lebanon before, so I'm not really going to share my experience, so to speak. I probably will, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let these guys speak first. What I'm going to ask these guys politely, right, is what was it they were expecting when I asked them Lebanon? Bearing in mind, Lebanon is a war-torn country within itself. The civil wars that have taken place over the years, to the point today morning I woke up and, you know, mashallah, the power of social media, Lebanon have asked the owner of Tesla, Mr. Musk, to buy Lebanon out because of the decadence that it's in and the financial crisis, and the economy is just totally crashed. On top of that, since Palestine had the invasion done in 1948, many refugees fled to Lebanon, who are still residing there today, generations on. And then the most recent attacks in Syria, and a lot of refugees have come into Lebanon. So bearing all this in mind, what I want to ask these guys is, what was it that they were expecting? So I'm going to start off with Brother Umar in a few short words. What was it that he was expecting when we asked him to come to Lebanon, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum. I've had some experience. I went to Jordan 2016, so I'd been to Palestinian refugee camps there, so I had some sort of idea before making this trip of what to expect. But honestly, when I got there and we spent our first day in the refugee camps, the Syrian refugee camps, which were north Lebanon, I was actually quite shocked. Conditions that were there, they were, you know, people just living in wooden shacks, basically. That's the best way to describe them. It's just a wooden structure with a piece of cloth wrapped over it. And these people have been there for over 10 years. So since the war started, they've been displaced from their own country. They've either come across the borders by car or they've walked across. We met families that had there were medical conditions. There was a brother that was paralyzed from the waist down. And he made his way across the border, and he's been living in those camps for over 10 years. So it was obviously quite emotional to see, you know, your brothers, your sisters. We live a very comfortable life here, and when you see your brothers and sisters there and how they're living and how they have been living, it kind of puts things into perspective. You know, we can see ourselves as being the rich ones, with money, alhamdulillah, you know, we live a comfortable life, but really, we're the poor ones. You know, what I saw there, the level of iman these individuals have, even though they've been through so much, it's just, it puts us to shame, really. The belief in Allah is still there, the taqwa is still there. They rely solely on Allah. Whatever they say, everything's come from Allah. Alhamdulillah, that's what they have on their lips. You know, that's what they utter all the time. So it was something that was really, you know, emotional. And, you know, it was important for us when we were going there, not just to go there and distribute food packs or, you know, give out money. It was to actually have a connection with the people there, to sit down, to speak to them, to talk to them, to get to know them. Because it wasn't just about just going there, handing money, and seeing them as a charity case, because they're not charity cases. You know, for us, it was important to see, you know, how our brothers and sisters are there, and to be not only be grateful for what we have, but actually come back and actually not only share our experiences, but to be in a position to do more for our brothers and sisters there, which is really important. And I know there's a lot of brothers here that did donate and gave money. And we appreciate your donations, but you know what we did was a really small thing in terms of what we gave. It wasn't, you know, it might last them for a month. The food parcels might last them a month, some 2 months, but it's not really enough. We need to do more. And you know, inshallah, if you have the opportunity to go in the future, if you have the opportunity to go yourself, I would really recommend, if you've got the chance to go on a deployment somewhere with a charity, to go and experience it. It's one thing giving something, you know, online, donating it online, or passing someone else the money to go and take it for you. But it's another experience when you actually go there and you visit the camps and them yourself. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to share.
And if there was something that you'd want to highlight out of your entire journey, and you'd want to summarize one lesson that you learned going on this journey, what would that be?
I think most important thing is the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what these individuals had, our brothers and sisters there. The taqwa that they had, you know, the belief was still so strong, considering they've been through so much. You would think they would lose all hope, but they still relied on Allah. Everything, even though they had nothing, you know, you'd sit into their camps, you'd be sitting on a hard piece of floor, they'd have a little piece of cloth there, no cushioning, no nothing. You know, there'd be 7, 8, 10 people living in a very small room, maybe 4 foot by 7 foot. So it's not you know, a big area. We live, you know, in comfortable rooms, alhamdulillah. But these people, the trials that they've been through, the difficulties that they've been through, but the reliance that they have on our Creator, you know, is something that puts things into perspective for me, is to take things forward. Is you know, whatever happens in our life, whatever difficulty we go through, is to keep your trust in Allah, to carry on within your worship, rely on Allah. Any difficulties that you have, you know, Allah Ta'ala will be able to solve those issues for you, regardless of what happens. And these people, you know, they kind of put that into perspective for us, what they've been through, what they've gone through. We've not experienced anything like that. You know, family members have been killed. We went to one house where there's a sister who, her husband and her son were blown apart by a bomb. She couldn't find their parts, she couldn't find them at all. She managed to find one of her sons and dragged him to the hospital, but he didn't make it either. So this is the, you know, the situation. How would, if that was our own family members, how would we be able to deal with that situation? But you know, their reliance on Allah Ta'ala, their belief so strong, that they've been able to come overcome those difficulties, and you know, the iman, the level of iman is so high. So that's something that I'd definitely take forward, is, you know, whatever difficulties we have in our life, always, you know, turn to Allah, because ultimately he's the one that will be able to help us overcome those difficulties.
Jazakallah khair. And the next one goes on to Ishaq. Share what you what was it that you expected, or what level of expectancy did you go there with? What happened there? Your highlights of there, and what lesson would you share with these guys coming back, with the people here?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. everything that I expected, to be honest. The brothers who went before basically give us an insight before how it would be, and it was mainly exactly how you see it with the shacks and stuff like that. But the main thing that I couldn't get over was the level of iman of the people, with all the trials and tribulations that they've been through and the lives that they've been through. And yet, like, there was the woman that Brother Umar were talking about, where she lost a husband and a son, and we asked her one question, and the question was, what is your motivation to get through every day? And she turned around and she says, sabr, Allah has given me this life, I just need to have sabr and I will get Jannah, inshallah. Like most people in this day and age, I even have kids myself, and I could refer to that. And people say, what is your motivation? People would say their kids. And her kids were sat both on both sides, and not once did she utter once about her kids, but all she said is, I have to have sabr and just carry on, alhamdulillah, and be with it, and I will get Jannah, inshallah. And this woman, she's got three kids, mashallah. One of them was full hafiz, one was 19 spada hafiz. We even asked him, what are your aspirations to become in life? He never said, I want a secure home. He never said, I want security. He never said, I want peace. All he says is, I want to become full hafiz, and I want to learn how to read it in all the 10 different ways and become a qari sahib. Nothing about money, no desires, no nothing, just pure iman. And for that, for me, it was beautiful to see that these people have got nothing, but yet their priorities are straight, whereas we have everything. And I wouldn't say as for everybody, but on behalf of myself, our priorities are not always in the best places and in the right places. And the main thing, I took back from it all was putting smiles on people's faces and just helping, just knowing that you can be there for the ummah. And like you say, we said to this woman, we're not a charity case. We're not here to just give you something. You know what I mean? We look at you like you're our mother, and we're your sons, and we're part of the ummah. And this is our duty upon us, to make sure that you have food, and you know that there's people out there that do dua for you and put hands up for you every day, whether it's after namaz, wherever it is, the hajjad, whatever. We are doing our duty as an ummah to be as one and just move forward, and inshallah these people move out of there and prosper and become better places and better people, inshallah.
I think there's a lot that can be said, but before we carry on, before we call it one, I'm gonna ask Brother Irfan similar question. What was it that he was expecting when we asked him to join? What was it that he saw there? What was the highlight for him? And again, what was the biggest lesson? Because you've got to understand, no two people see the same. Let me say that again. No two people will see the same. We're all looking at this masjid, but when this was undergoing construction, every person that walked in here saw something different. They would internalize something different. Some people might walk in here and say, wow, these guys are really taking their time. Somebody would walk in here and say, mashallah, you know what, these guys are being fast. Somebody would look at somebody working and, mashallah, he's got a good graft, he's got a good work ethic. Somebody would say, he's got poor work. No two eyes interpret the same, no two ears interpret the same. What I hear from that mother, what he heard from that mother, what he heard and what Irfan heard from that mother, none of us heard it the same. The words were the same. Interpretations were different. And hence why we're giving this live account, because I think it'd be fair for the public to hear how each of us internalized it. So I'm going to ask Brother Irfan as well, that what was it that he expected? Or didn't he even go with an expectation? Did he just go with the flow and think, you know what, I'm just going to rely on these guys and just go? I don't know what he did. And then in terms of going there, what was it that he found? Was it the Syrian refugee camps, Palestinians? Well, I don't know what got to him. Was it the Palestinians that got to him? Because we did visit the Palestinians as well. And then what was the biggest lesson that he took from there that he could share with us guys, inshallah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu alaykum. This was my first deployment. I would say I didn't know what to expect upon going there, but Alhamdulillah, it was an eye-opener, I would say. It's like Brother Isaac and Brother Umar said, the amount of level of iman and sabr that these people have got, mashallah, if only we had an ounce of the amount of sabr and iman they had. You know, we take things, we don't appreciate things in life. I would say how I took it was like we visited one lady where we give her a food pack, and like Brother Umar said, these food packs are supposed to last them, say, 4 weeks. Some of them maybe less, some of them maybe more. And when we were doing random spot checks on these food packs, with the amount that's in there, no way would we, personally, I wouldn't be able to survive off that in 4 weeks. We visited this lady and we spoke to her and everything. Before leaving, she was adamant. She insisted on us staying there from the food pack, cooking food for us and opening iftari for with her. You know, to be honest with you, before going, if that was me, I would honestly think, hang on, I've got this food pack. This is supposed to last me 4 weeks. To heck with you guys, I need this to last out for the next 4 to 6 weeks, inshallah. But, you know, with the amount of iman they have and the amount of appreciation, you know, she was like, no, stay, stay, stay. You know, and it's just things from that I would take is appreciate things in life. And now every time I sit down, eat, it always makes me think. Before, I would literally, and I can say for many people, we would stuff ourselves to a point where we can't even breathe anymore. You know, we're very, very bloated. But now it makes me think of every time we eat is, you know, what are these people going to be eating at this time? What are they going through? The tough times, will they even get any food? You know, without the donations, without anybody going there, giving them food, what would they survive on? What would they live on? Because the living conditions and the way they are there is really, really, really bad. Really bad. And, you know, some of them, we ask them what gets them through. I think they get some money from the government that they do give them, but it's nowhere near enough for them to survive. It's just about to get through. Some of them have to stand day and night on the roads just to get some manual labor job. Sometimes they come back without even getting any work. You know, it's just things in life that we should appreciate and that we take for granted. And we see people out there, go there yourself so you can. By us telling you guys, I've sat in so many with so many people, even who start like telling me of deployments, this story. It did not hit me as much as actually physically going there and seeing it itself. I used to listen to people telling me of the experiences they've had, videos, photos of seeing it. Nothing compares to actually going there and seeing it for yourself. The one lesson I would take is appreciate things in life, not just on your rizq, your food and stuff, but also family members, people close to you. One day they could be here, even yourselves, one day they could be here, one day, next day they could be gone.
I think to summarize, there's a lot that's been said, and I think there's a lot that unfortunately words cannot do justice to. And I'm going to say that on behalf of all four of us. These stories they're mentioning, you've got to understand the dynamics. People have traveled through mountains. So I want you to think about that for a second. I've never been back home. The only Asian country I've seen is Afghanistan. I've never been to a back home country, so I don't know what the back home mountains look like. But imagine the mountains back home. And imagine your family members, 8 months pregnant. Your mother's 8 months pregnant. She's also got another 7 children. Three of her own, 4 of another family. And she's having to walk through the mountains up until she reaches a point where she sees that she can build her own camp, or there's camps there and tents there that she can move into. You know, when you're talking about insulation, they've never heard of it. You ask them where their bathroom is, it's in the middle, further down from the tent, somewhere, the hole in the ground. When you're talking about what they get from the government, they get $20 per person per month. Over there, it means nothing. When you're talking about their medical conditions, you know that one mother that he's talking about with regards to who offered his iftari, she offered his iftari paralyzed. Just take that in. Your mum's paralyzed, but she's yet offering people who she's never met before, probably might never see again. She's offering, for the sake of Allah, that I'll cook you guys iftari with this food pack that I've been given today. Deep in. You're talking about another guy that we met.
You know, all he did was smile. Umar mentioned him, he was paralyzed. How was he paralyzed? A bomb blast took place. He had 6 pieces of shrapnel stuck in his back. Yet when we walked through that door, not once did he show any sign of pain. He sat there and smiled and spoke to us throughout. And again, the same points were mentioned. What gets you through? Iman. The level of taqwa, believe you me, the level of taqwa that these guys have, we can't touch. Their reliance upon, I don't know how they get through it. And when them food packs came, I remember, and these guys can vouch for it, sometimes they'd be fighting for it. Some people would come back and, you know, try to slip another box through and try to take it home. And as much as the charities that, you know, the volunteers that were there, we were like, no, but we need to give to other families. And we were getting frustrated that what if somebody misses out? What if, truth be told, if I was in that situation, I'd cut to none. We're from Bradford, mate. We don't leave anybody alone. We'd make sure we told one box we'll walk out with three. And we'll fight our way. Like, jokes aside, but we would. If your family was desperate, you don't know where your next meal's coming from. Ramadan is the only month you look forward to. Why? Because that's the only time the Ummah remembers this. Remember that. They look forward to Ramadan. Why? Because they feel that that's the only time when the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembers them. And yes, many charities do go out and, you know, yeah, food packs, you know, you sit there, you're doing a numbers game. But we made it a point, and we said this before we went, that not only are we going to do that, but we're going to sit with these families. Ask them, what is their story? You want to see mental health, go there. We talk about mental health, don't we? Yeah, we talk about depression. We talk about suicide rates. We talk about inner feelings. We talk about feeling low. What about these guys? These guys in the camp, they don't even have access to a mobile phone. You know when you say shut off from the world? The moment we got past that checkpoint, and the moment the army let us through, bearing in mind they're in a confined space, the moment we got through there, your reception goes zero. There is no communication with the outside world. So who remembers these guys? Aren't they our brothers and sisters? It's alright, us guys living in large. Realistically speaking, we are compared to them. But the lessons that we took from there, I think these guys have only just given the tip of the iceberg, to be quite fair. Every single night, and I said it to these guys as well, I said, you know, if you guys shed a tear, cry out. Not just myself, I witnessed all three of us crying in many, many different areas. I saw all three of us laughing with the children there. Them kids probably haven't had that much fun in months. We'd play Tiggy with them. How many of you guys remember Tiggy? How many of you guys remember scaring children and, you know, playing hide and seek? You know, we did that. But then these same children are reciting Quran to us. Us guys, we've got everything at our disposal. We, you know, it's something that I mentioned yesterday as well when we were doing the fundraising. We do not appreciate the masjids the way they ought to be appreciated. We do not appreciate Islamic education that we've got access to the way it ought to be appreciated. Go share it with them, guys. They're looking in, listen this out. They're looking in other camps for sheikhs to teach this camp Quran. And they're walking. And then us guys, mashallah, you know what, mummy, daddy's at work today. You know, house is only down the road. But no, Putar can't make it today, I'm sorry. Nobody's to give me a lift. Truth. And we say that we're living in a very secure place compared to a place like that. But the level of love that they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the level of iman that they have, untouchable. Untouchable. And now, and I'm going to share my final piece. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he mentions, in my own words, I'm going to mention it, where he talks about how the poor people are going to enter Jannah first. You know, on this journey, that's what I took back from it. I understood from this journey why the poor people will go Jannah first. Because their iman and their taqwa supersedes every one of us combined. They've got nothing to give accountability for. Everything. Imagine it. They're going to be stood on Qiyamah. Allah's going to ask them, how did you spend your youth? What are they going to say? Ya Allah, we were in a position that we had to fast in the daytime and nighttime. Ya Allah, Allah's going to ask them, okay, how did you spend your life? Ya Allah, all we knew was you and the Quran. We didn't know nothing else. With the wealth that we gave you, how did you spend it? They're going to, Ya Allah, what wealth? Can you imagine? And then, mashallah, us guys. You know, I gave you wealth, what did you do with it? We spent it on food and even that got half thrown in the bin. Truth, real talk. So, for me, it was the understanding of that one hadith. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say that he wished and he prayed that he rises on Qiyamah with them people and he's going to go into Jannah with them people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a story for another time, we can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us the ability to study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when you go looking into the seerah, and I'm going to ask Maulana that to make some sort of a plan throughout this year to actually go into depth and share the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one of the things that you'll notice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not live the high life that we're living. Truth be told, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was here today, how many of our lifestyle would he approve of? Think about it. If he was to walk into our houses today, and he was to see our lifestyles today, would he approve of our lifestyles and the way we're living? I leave you with that thought. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursalin. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا ظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين مولا ساتھیوں نے جو کارگزاری سنائی اور ان کا جو سفر گزرا مولا اس سفر کو قبول فرما جو امداد انہوں نے کیا اس امداد کو قبول فرما جو سبق انہوں نے حاصل کیا اور آج ہم تک پہنچایا اس کے اوپر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما مولا یقیناً ہم بڑے ناشکر ہیں ہمیں شکر گزار بندے بننے کی توفیق نصیب فرما مولا رمضان کا جو وقت باقی ہے اس کی قدر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما مولا کل آخری روزہ ہے کل تک مولا ہماری بخشش کے فیصلے فرما ہماری بخشش کے فیصلے فرما واللہ accept our gathering here the brothers who shared these beautiful stories with us oh Allah accept the efforts of these brothers oh Allah enable us to take these lessons home with us enable us to be grateful servants oh Allah save us from ungratefulness save us from heedlessness oh Allah enable us to partake in such projects in the future be it physically or financially. Oh Allah, give us the ability and accept it from us. Oh Allah, the time which remains of this blessed month of Ramadan is quickly running out. Oh Allah, tomorrow is the final fast. Oh Allah, enable us to utilize it and decide our forgiveness. Make the decision of our forgiveness before this blessed month ends. Whatever we've asked for, grant us. Whatever we've forgotten to ask for, grant us. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.